I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was a pretty sad moment though, I thought, just now, you know, when legends of the game, Jimmy Brennan and Craig Forrest here, were forced to watch Amy Walsh reveal her new special Canada Soccer alumni hoodie. And they're like, wait, where's ours? Where's our hoodie? We haven't got a hoodie. We're alumni. What happened? So Dubs, was that from the Sinky match? You got that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So are they mailing Jimmy and Craig's to them? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure it's in the mail.
Yeah?
No, I'm not.
I have a feeling they're not in the mail.
No. That's the last Puma top you get.
Oh, wow.
It is nice, though. It's nice.
Don't worry about it. It took me 5 years to get one.
Craig's wearing his CPL 5th year anniversary toque today. He looks like Waldo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be somebody's Christmas present. So
he's just warming it up.
I thought I looked like Bert off Ernie and Bert with that my little pom pom at the top, like Bert's hair.
It's true.
It does a little bit, actually.
You're smilier than Bert, though.
Is Ernie there somewhere in bed still?
Yeah.
JC's here and Wonga's here, and I'm Shams. It's Footy Prime, the podcast. We'll get to a whole ton of stuff today, actually.
Midweek this is, just so everyone knows, this is two shows in one. Sorry. This Just In and the Foundational. We're wrapping them together.
Yeah. Oh, so that means we've got to talk about last weekend's games as
If we remember, but only because Pugs Wizard has come back to be our friend, which we'll discuss later in Wonger's mail sack.
Yeah, on that note, I'll say it now before I forget. Please like us and subscribe us. Recommend us and give us reviews. Even you, Pug Wizard, you too can make up for your egregious error.
Yeah, we've got lots going on. We're working on a new website, everybody. Mm. So we're all going to be able to be contacted through our website at any moment's notice, which is you put up the Pugs Wizard bat signal and we'll be there. Mm.
There's a home for all our bullshit.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. Hopefully by the end of this month, actually.
Yep.
But as that gets closer, and once I figure out how to write into a PDF, we will we'll get closer. That's so frustrating, PDFs. I still can't figure it out, Wonga, by the way.
Oh, God.
I thought PDFs were like the easiest format. Today. It's like standardized across the way. What's so
how do I write in it, though? How do I fill in like forms in a PDF?
You open a PDF software that allows you to write into PDFs.
Oh, okay.
It is a thing. Well, it's funny too, because Craig yesterday was trying to book a meeting with our merch, a merch opportunity. And I said, do you know how to make a calendar in Google? And he goes, no, you'll have to show me. And we never got to that. So no. I don't know. Are we having a meeting today, Craig?
We are right now, apparently.
I know.
Last minute, I ended up courtside last night at the Raptors game.
Well, in your absence in Vancouver, I'm glad your internet's got better.
It's brutal.
But yeah, Craig sends a picture courtside. Man, you were late. You were legit courtside. You actually stood up and were hanging out on the courtside with McKechnie.
Yeah. Yeah, when I get those McKechnie tickets again, I'm going to ask for the Gucci seats.
Did they win last night?
No, they're horrible.
Hmm. They're pretty awful, eh?
Yeah. JC's rubbing his head because he knows how upset we'll be in the spring.
It's so messed up. Here's a little fact for you. I know we're a footy show, but the Raptors in the last 10 years have the second most wins in the NBA, only behind the Golden State Warriors. Sure. And they've won, what, 3 championships?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Wow. And we've won 1. But on paper, we should be a great team, but in practice, we suck. And I say we because I'm on the team.
Yes, you're the little diminutive point guard.
It's like Jimmy on color. You just say we.
We,
yeah.
See.
So, Dubs, tell us. I mean, from what we saw on television, it looked pretty amazing. Big event feel.
Yeah. Did
it? It seems that the organizers, and give Candace like a credit, you know, we hammer them when needed, but they also do some things right. And it seems they got this just about right.
Yep, they really did. And I was concerned when I heard how the ceremonies were going to go, like that Sinky wearing the armband was not going to lead the team out, that she was going to be presented after the fact. And I was also worried with the way the substitution happened. Like, I think it was kind of genius the way that she came out 12 minutes into the second half. Which I only realized after the fact. But then at that point, Sophie comes on and there's the exchange of armband and Sophie gets to wear the armband for the rest of the game. And I thought at that point, you know, are you stealing from the ovation that Sinky would get if she's subbed off for somebody else who's not being honored? And is Sophie being properly recognized as well? Because that's sort of lost in the ovation for Sink. But I think that like Bev's decision to do that, the event planning, Canada Soccer, everything around it, it did have a buzz. Like it was a palpable buzz even before people came into the stadium that, you know, just that the game was really, really meaningful. And there was the right amount of pomp and circumstance. And I think that Sinky really was at a point in her career as a player, but I think also, I don't want to say maturity, but, you know, was able to let it wash over her properly. You know, and earlier on in her career, I don't think she would have been in a spot where she would be comfortable enough to receive all of that. So you could see, you know, the discomfort at times, and that was expected. But I think she really was able to recognize it, and you know, the fans saw that as well. So all the right notes were hit, and then I think like the guard of honor having the 2012 players who were there, and just the individuality shining through, and you're able to see what made each of them special. Even though I think it was mostly about Sinclair. But I think Aaron McLeod was honored properly. Sophie was honored properly and they got the win. So that was great too. I think that really mattered to all three of them, but it was a wonderful night. Unforgettable, I think, for everybody who was there.
Yeah. We should make it clear that she didn't want to do this, right?
I think when Aaron McLeod came out onto the pitch first, she's still lively, Aaron.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah. Just kind of like high-kneed it out to where they were having the ceremonies, like her arms kind of pumping in the air. Like that was just Aaron, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So different from Christine.
Yeah.
This is really difficult right now. Sorry, because Craig's about 6 seconds behind us.
Yeah.
So I think he's stopped right now. But yeah, it's a valid point because Sinky did not want to do this. Let's make that clear. She made it pretty clear in the interviews, right? But she was convinced that this is what Canada wants, essentially. Mm. And those close to her wants, right? So she did. She kind of muscled through it, I guess, is the way to say it, right? But now it's finished. It's done. And that's got to be a bit of a relief, too, for Beth Priestman, doesn't it, Dubs, a little bit? In that there's no obligatory call-up now for Kristen Sinclair, no matter where she's at with her game. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure to give her minutes. You can actually really now move forward now and move on with, I won't say the new generation because it's still some real veterans in that team, obviously. But without having that, and I say this word the best way possible, that ballast, right? We have you got a superstar who's on the at the end of their career. It's tough to say goodbye and the coach being the person to force that. So do you think in some ways Beth Priestman is a little bit relieved now she can really start moving forward with a clean slate?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's less about managing that superstar and that massive presence that Sinky was. And in a way, as you said it, you put it delicately, like to use a negative word, but like it sort of overshadowed everything. And so now I think she really does have a chance to look ahead, to have her eyes on Paris and getting players the minutes that they need, calling different players in to get looks. And I thought that, you know, having Sophie there, having Sink there and giving them those minutes so that they got clapped up the way that they deserved, I thought, you know, with Australia, I mean, it was that 5-0 win in Langford. It was a completely different 11. Like it was definitely their B squad. And then, so now this is basically the team that ran them 4-0 and booted them out of the World Cup in Australia, save for Mackenzie Arnold and Nett. So I thought this is a bit risky. Like you have this great environment, this great setting, great energy and atmosphere at BC Place, but the air could go out of it awfully quick, you know, if this Australian side is allowed to sort of run roughshod over this team. But to Canada's credit, I think it was a bit of a stalemate in the first half, but did very well. They played really well, and Quinn gets that goal, and you see Sinky mouthing, "Thank you for scoring," you know. And I think Vanessa Gill should have put them up two goals. That goal should have counted. I think someone said it was a foul actually on Kadisha Buchanan, which is why it was called off. It wasn't Gill winning it over the goalkeeper. But Canada was convincing. I think that is what you look at, like that those players got their due. But then also for Bev Priestman, this is three wins in a row. You know, they really turned things around. Brave decisions that Bev made post that World Cup. They look tactically fluid. They look comfortable. They're able to sort of use the players in a way that gets the best out of this squad. And then she has something really to build on looking at the Olympics.
Do you feel guilty, Dubs, for, you know, making it about yourself and stealing the spotlight?
Making it about myself? What do you mean?
Well, you're all over Twitter right now. You're everywhere. You know, every fan at the game apparently got a selfie with Amy Walsh.
Yeah, literally everyone. That's right. I was feeling a little bit jealous that I wasn't in that 2012 squad that got to be part of that guard of honor. And I was robbed of that. So I had to make it about me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know me so well.
There were some Walsh shirts, though, in attendance, eh? The supporters club was out in force. It was great. Yeah.
Carrie Ryan was looking very, very swish in her Walsh jersey. I met Chris Corrigan. I got a Swan Guardian scarf. What's that for us? I have no idea.
Some of them were taped on.
Yes. Well, there was with apologies to Atiba, there was an Atiba jersey that somebody had taped with Jim. I think McClellan is his last name. I met him.
Yes.
And he taped it over with Walsh and then Dubs in parentheses. And he came down. I was like, well, I got to sign it for you. And then he was like, okay, apologies, everybody in the vicinity. And he went bare chested. And handed me the jersey.
Oh, I thought you signed his chest.
No.
That's great.
We just had to pass the jersey down because I couldn't get up to where he was. Mm-hmm. So it was great. Everybody appreciated it.
That's amazing. Now, you know, I think it's nice to also that even Joey Barton's weighed in on women's soccer this week and was a special.
Fucking hell. Joey
Barton, you know, if you don't know who Joey Barton is, just Google him. He's rather a live wire, really good footballer in his time too, but a controversial figure to say the least. And he's come out. He's been quiet for a while, so I guess he's come out to piss some people off. Shall I read the tweet out? Give him some airtime here?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's have
why
some not? Fun.
He misogyny is always good.
Yeah, women shouldn't be talking with any kind of authority in the men's game. Come on, let's be serious. It's a completely different game. If you don't accept that, we'll always see things differently. The women's game is thriving. Fantastic to see. I cannot take a thing they say serious in the men's arena. What are you doing, Joey?
Why even throw that compliment in there?
I know.
Like, just make it all negative.
It's thriving, but it's a different sport. So
that's right.
What does that even mean exactly? You can't talk about another sport? It's pretty much the same sport. Same rules, same dynamics. And quite honestly, and we've said this before, but some of the women broadcasters who are making a name for themselves now are fantastic. Like, really, really good. And that's, I'm not saying that in a patronizing way, even though it really sounds fucking patronizing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to come out that way.
It kind of did.
They did really, really well. Well good done, for young
you, Amy. Women. You've done really well lately, Amy. Congratulations. You've really found your way. And, you know, we had our druthers.
But if he had his druthers, there'd be no women calling, there'd be no women pundits. And he actually followed up that tweet this morning by saying that, you know, his point is made or confirmed because all of the men who are out there as pundits, as ex-players, they have not come to the defense of, you know, the Karen Carneys and the Kelly Smiths of the world. Who are pundit, the Jill Scotts, no one's come to their defense. No one said boo. So he's saying that's sort of confirming his stance.
Really? But no one's defended his stance either, have they?
That was really well said, Amy.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing well.
Thank you.
I want to make sure she knows she's doing well.
You're doing well. God.
Keep it up. Keep it up, kid. Keep it up.
What do you guys do?
Hey, Jimmy, do you... You must have played against Joey Barton at some point.
Yeah.
And any memories?
Well, look, everybody knows what Joey Barton's like. He's very controversial. He loves to stir the pot. And when something comes up, you know, he's in there and he'll be tweeting. He's probably having a little giggle as well, sitting there with his mates going, look at this. Look at the attention we're getting here from this one. But he's always been like that. He's always... Seems to be in the papers and the headlines for the wrong reasons, doesn't he?
He does seem to like being attacked, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does seem that way. He does these things, he gets bored.
Yeah.
Because he's actually quite an interesting, whether you love him or hate him, he's actually an interesting figure if you follow his career and you look at some of his interviews. He's got things to say about a lot.
He's quite clever. He's quite clever.
Yes, he's not dumb, despite that.
No.
That
tweet. Are we sure?
No. He's a very, very intelligent guy at times.
Hmm.
Well, now that
this is more than just a wind up, though. He's winding people up.
Now Jimmy said that. He's wondering now. Mm-hmm. He's onto something. It might be a wind up, like I'm really poor, in poor taste.
That's
kind of what Joey Barton does.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that he's sitting at the pub with his mates and just let's cause some shit storm here for no apparent reason. Let's get my name back out there.
I'm not giving him that much credit.
No, fair enough.
You don't know him.
Oh, you know him super well?
I know what he's like in his character, yes.
Okay.
Look him up and follow a bit of what he's all about, and you'll see.
I didn't know he existed until yesterday. So
I just thought he was a troll.
Did you ever see the interview when he was playing in France? And he was there for
remind me.
And then he started talking with the French accent.
Yeah, I do remember that. I also remember after he retired, he did an interview with the BBC walking around some art museum. And actually, he's apparently, well, whether he is or not, it could be a wind-up, he's into art. And there's Joey Barton, who's kind of seen as a bit of a thug, even though he's not necessarily. And he's got strong opinions about various paintings at this museum. I've got to find that. It's really quite funny. And like, holy shit, really? And he sounds quite intelligent there as well. Anyway.
Is it paint by numbers?
Listen, Dubs, as we know, we shouldn't judge people on one tweet.
This is true. You make a good point.
Just hate them now.
Right.
That's so good.
I've got another line there, but I'm not going to say it because it's really funny. But it might. Yeah, we'll say it off air. Say it from the dark web. It's a really good line, but I just cut. Fuck! I wish I could say it. Okay, remind me when we shut down. Okay, to the great line I could say, but I won't. All right, football this week. Hey, City lost to Aston Villa 1-0. Pep Guardiola post-match was awesome.
By the way, Sharms, did you hear and did you guys read that Tajon Buchanan could be getting a move to Man City?
To Man City?
To Man City, yeah. Apparently,
who's
Pep's after him big time.
Wait, let me look this up. Where do you see this?
Wherever you like.
Yeah.
Joey Barton tweeted it.
Yeah. He was being controversial.
Yeah. No, I saw it as well.
There's no need for Canadians in the Premier League.
No more foreigners in the Prem.
Yeah. As I look this up, so post-match Pep was asked, so Villa, a legitimate title contender, and he was effusive in his praise. He said, yes, absolutely. Look at everything I do, from the defending to the attacking to the coaching to the mid-block, high press, blah, 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 pep talk. He goes, yeah, they are. And right now they're third in the table. They've been, I think, third best in the league since Unai Emery took over well over a year ago now. They're just beating Man City 22-2 shots in Villa's favor, which is unbelievable. Yeah. It's not so much Villa getting the 22 shots, but it's containing Man City to two shots. It might be an off day for Man City, but I don't know, Craig. I mean, this to me looks like a legitimate force now in the Premier League and Aston Villa, does it not?
It's quite amazing what Emery's doing, isn't it? We've known him so well in the Europa League and how successful he's been there. And then he got that move to Arsenal, and you know, it doesn't always work out for managers, but he's clearly an exceptional manager and gets the very best out of everybody that he gets a hold of. Because I look at that Villa squad, and they're a good squad, but it, you know, I guess every year you get somebody that surprises and gets up to the top of the table or in that top four or five that sort of, you know, threaten there. But something different about this Villa side, they look really resilient and playing some terrific football, and the confidence is sky high, and they're doing incredible things. I think Emery's got a record too, as far as a certain amount of games with averaging 2 points a game in the Premier League. It's quite astonishing. Like, it's different level. I never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. And actually, another stat to that for us is I saw the Athletic post. Unai Emery's won 31 of his first 50 games in charge of Villa, whereas Pep won 29 of his first 50 at City. That's pretty remarkable.
That really is. Yeah. So does that make Unai Emery a target for other clubs? Is it time for Villa fans to start worrying about that now? Or should they just enjoy this at the moment? I'm pissing all over on their parade right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but let's be honest. At the beginning of the season, this team was our dark horse. This is a team that we said was going to be up there trying to get a Champions League place. So I don't think it's a massive surprise. This was the one team that we thought is definitely going to be competing this year. They've got some good pieces in place. They're playing good football. And they deserve to be there.
But now we're saying, are they actually, you know, title contenders?
I was worried. I was just worried at the opening game of the season. I think it was Newcastle away, and Villa got absolutely thrashed. I was like, oh, hold on a minute. Our dark horse. But
yeah, that is true. I actually remember that. Yeah, but they bounced back, and I don't know. I mean, listen, they are solid. They got, like you said, no superstars just yet, but they're just a solid team with depth. Good young players, breakout players. Ollie Watkins is having a breakout season, I think it's fair to say, at the moment. Douglas Luiz is just incredible and a target for some big, big clubs. But Villa is a big club, and we shouldn't forget that. And if they can get a run of Champions League seasons under their belt, that's some good money coming in there. So they'll do all they can to retain Unai Emery. And listen, there's no rumors about him going anywhere, but you know how football works. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
And when Pep starts singing your praises, it really kind of helps your currency on the market.
See, that goes back to that question that we always say is, you know, when a manager's doing well, is the grass always greener? He was at Arsenal. Now he's at Villa. He's in a good spot. He's building the club or building the team that he wants, playing the football that he wants. And he's developing a culture there. Why would you want to leave? And I get it, you know, somebody's going to come in there and splash the big bucks. But then again, you know, it could be the same as, what's his name, that left Brighton and went to Chelsea for the big bucks. And all of a sudden now you're out of a job for the last couple of years.
Graham Potter.
So I think sometimes, when you're at somewhere, you're comfortable, you're building a culture, why leave?
And rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's rich, but that only lasts for so long. Meaning you're not going to be happy all the time, are you?
Unless, yeah, well, you could also get a terrible drug addiction, and then there goes the money.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, Unai Emery hasn't got a drug addiction, so he should be all right. A couple of divorces to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think for Villa, it's less, okay, yeah, they were a dark horse, and now maybe people are gunning for them a little bit more, but I think it's almost the flip side of that. I think it almost gives a blueprint of how to go at City. You know, the way that Villa really controlled the tempo, overloaded centrally, and forced Pep to adjust to them, which you don't really see a whole heck of a lot. And they really struggled with that. So credit to Villa.
It could be an off season for City, possibly. But at the same time, they usually find themselves after Christmas, right? City. And they try things, they experiment, they have new players coming in, playing different positions, Pep doing Pep things for half the season, and they stay in the mix. And then it all clicks. And Kevin De Bruyne is going to be like the old cliched new signing when he returns. Pretty good new signing.
Yeah,
so I still have them as my favorites to win the whole thing. And they are still the bookies' favorites. TonyBet.ca still have them at -107 to win the whole thing. Villa's fourth favorites to win the whole title, by the way, at this point. They're favorites over Spurs, over Newcastle, which says it all, right? These are two teams, Newcastle and Spurs.
Who's third? It's Arsenal and who else? Liverpool.
Yeah.
Speaking of windups.
Oh, damn it, Wonga, you got me.
Sorry.
Listen, I love it. I think it's refreshing to have a new, you know, force in that top four, and hopefully it continues. And there's no reason to think it won't continue, right? Because they've been doing it. They've been slowly building since they fired Steven Gerrard, who was supposed to be the salvation for this club, once great club to return to former glories, right?
And had said they didn't have the players to do it, right? Famously or infamously? Yep. Yeah.
So it turns out they actually do. United, they beat Chelsea 2-1. Poch, he says, what's his quote here? It was, this is kind of weird. It was difficult at the start. They showed massive energy. Maybe we were affected because we played Sunday with one less player for 60 minutes with similar players. So he's saying fatigue was the reason, because they had a man sent off on Sunday. Is that just grasping at excuses here? It is, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you got a squad of 40 players and spent all the money that you've spent. You're telling me you don't have another player that can come in there and do a job? Who the fuck is he kidding?
So is he maybe taking the blame there in an indirect way? Saying, like, it's my fault I went with players who were fatigued and maybe I should have rotated my squad a bit more?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to protect the players. Saying, look, the boys are all fatigued. We struggled a little bit today. Should have dealt with it better. But really, at the end of the day, they weren't good enough.
Will you tell me, footballers, you tell me, like, when you play an hour, a downer man or woman on a given day, how much more does it take out of you compared to playing full strength?
Yeah, it does. Of course it does. You're doing extra running, you're working harder. It does take a toll on you, but you've got all the resources to recover the way that you need to recover. It's not like they're playing a day later, 2 days later. They've got time to recover.
Did you guys ever use
You got a massive squad. Like, you can shuffle players and move them around.
Did you guys ever use like anything like an oxygen chamber for recuperation or anything like that?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
No.
Jimmy, you've done an ice bath, though.
Well, yeah.
But you've never done a hyperbaric or anything like that, which is
No. Like we had, towards the end, we had them. You could use them if you wanted to, but I didn't
Not old school, Jimmy.
No. Ice bath, that was it. Get out.
Yeah, same. Ice bath.
How long will you dip into an ice bath for recuperation, Dubs? What's the going rate?
I feel like 10 or 15 minutes. And then we'd also do like Epsom salts. Epsom salt baths. Yeah.
Would you like light a candle and read a book as well while you're in there?
No, we would set it up.
A martini.
Yeah, that's right. No, sometimes I'd have a beer in the ice bath. especially if it was post-game. I have like a snack. I have some chips and some beer in the ice bath.
Some old Motown, some old soul in there. Some Marvin Gaye. Some Shy Light.
Yeah.
Your time. No, it's your
time.
You
really deserve this, Amy.
No, there's nothing sexy about an ice bath.
Let's get it on.
There's really not.
Let's get it on. Thanks, Jimmy.
Was it the JP's Russian teammate called it?
Gooseskin.
Gooseskin, yeah, just gooseskinned up. Nothing romantic about that.
No, and some people, like their feet and their ankles would be really sensitive to the cold, so you'd wear like your oldest pair of socks to just protect your feet. It was always okay. But just go in there with the sliders and a sports bra.
But the socks, they're not waterproof, are they?
No, but it would be like a little extra.
It does.
Layer.
It
or maybe it was like a mental thing.
It's got to be a mental thing. It can't insulate you.
No, it does.
Inside the bath.
It does. It depends if it traps some oxygen, then it actually does warm.
It's not a wetsuit.
I'm just saying, it does make a difference. They taught us that in lifeguarding, that the clothes can sometimes help you last a little longer. Just so you know. I don't know. Maybe it's changed. Maybe physics has changed. Maybe physics has changed.
A little bit longer.
Yeah. That's why that's right. You never get naked during sex.
Prophylactive.
That's right.
Give me a body prophylactive, please.
Can you at least take your pants off? I got to fly.
I need a
body. No, there's oxygen in there. I can't get them off.
Anyway, ice bath stories. I like ice bath stories. I keep trying to do a cold shower in the morning. I do it like once.
And then
I do it like once. Apparently it's really good for you. Great for your immune system. Yeah. As you can tell, it's working for me.
No, you look a million lira.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, Scott McTominay scored 2 more goals for United, huh? Top scorer for United. And people he's like the subject of ridicule. For I don't know why. He's a really good player. Now, he's not known as being a goal scorer. It's more of a statement on United, I think, that he's your top goal scorer. But I think it's unfortunate that he's being kind of this caricature now. Oh, Scott McTominay, the goal scorer. Like, good for him. Someone's got to score those bloody goals. And United won the game.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be Bruno Fernandes with that ridiculous run-up for that penalty.
She hates Bruno Fernandes.
I really do.
Can I just
Sharks
say...
Sharks got me like to come around a bit on him. And then I was like, the next game, I was like, oh, fuck, no. He's the worst.
But United... They're lurching around at sixth, and everyone's been talking about their demise this year, and they're just floating around there. If they run off 3 or 4 good matches, and they've been playing a little stronger lately, they're in the top 4 all of a sudden. So it's quite interesting how it's been a little over exaggerated. When BH Brighton Hove Albion was killing it, they kind of sunk back. They beat Brentford yesterday to get back on the winning track. But, I know. I watched the Prem yesterday.
Steve Chang's been doing some research.
Oh, Steve Chang's been doing his homework. Dan Wong doesn't know what's happening. Steve Chang does. and then even seeing Arsenal struggle at Luton. And I know Luton, what a great pitch to watch that match, though. Sorry, I'm changing it up a little bit, Sharms. But that Luton match with how close it is. It's literally like old school, like camera work. The ball looks like it's coming right at you.
Anyways, sorry, Sharms.
Talking about the ball coming at you, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, balls coming out of my face.
Like he's about to get teabagged.
Like sleeping with Jimmy. Cuddling with Jimmy. You're always dodging balls.
Yeah. Jimmy, you played there before, though. You said it before, yep. Kenilworth Road, right? I mean, from TV stuff, so it looks like you're right on the field. Does it feel that way when you're on the pitch?
Yeah, it is. It's tight. It's a tight venue. Very, very old school stadium. Tight, tight venue. It is good. The crowd are excellent there as well.
If you're at the sideline, how actually close, like, are you two bodies away, 12 feet? Like, Could someone throw an egg at you?
Yeah, yeah. They're really close. You know, some stadiums.
Throw an egg at Amy.
Some stadiums.
She's too popular.
Distance in bodies.
She's too popular.
Two bodies away?
No, I'm jealous of you. I'm envious. You're turning into Joan Jett. We're just the Blackhearts.
That's right. We'll do the album cover and I'll be front and center. Right. You guys will be blurred in the background.
I think if the supporters club had their way, that it would be exactly what it'd be like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Back to United. So they've banned certain reporters from the pre-match press conference yesterday, or post-match, one of the two, anyway, press conference. And I mean, they're saying it wasn't fair. You got all these allegations about various things in the room and you didn't call us for context or for, I think you're being destroyed. You're being hammered by the media right now. Nothing's going right for you. You've blown so many big news stories over recent years and by banning the media, you think that's going to help? I mean, it seems such a naive thing to do. That's not going to help your cause, these guys, banning them. And there were some pretty well-known journalists, good journalists, were banned from the room. And I don't think it's up to a journalist necessarily to ask for reaction when you're breaking a story. They are obviously pretty strong with their sources. They're not just making shit up, the guys they mentioned, because they are good journalists, right? I think it's just, again, a mistake from Manchester United to do this.
Are they well within their rights to do that? Are there no regulations in the Premier League in terms of access for journalists?
Yeah, they might get in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm. Sure I get that, like the knee-jerk reaction to want to be protective of your team, but if there's nothing slanderous about it, you're fucking yourself over in the long run. You just end up looking
TFC,
bad.
Amy? Your TFC? Hey, right. End of year.
Let's get JMO out there.
Pressure. Yeah. We'll send an email.
Yeah.
One to one person.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest. If the press are hammering you, things aren't going well. Mm-hmm. Things are not going well, and that's why they're coming at you. And they'll hear things, rumors, they'll make assumptions, and they'll write their stories. But that's where you as a club, you as a head coach, you have to sit in front of them and deal with it and answer those questions and tell them exactly what's going on. It's the best way to do it. You just can't ban them because then all of a sudden now they'll just start writing their own stuff and make it even worse.
Yeah, precisely, right? I love it when you see those old managers and they'll focus on a reporter for a story that he wrote and we'll just hammer them in the press conference.
Yeah.
They're amazing. That's your opportunity, right?
Your opportunity. Like if you did something, you wrote something, I should be sitting in front of you, Sharms, and saying, Sharms, why'd you write that? You were wrong in what you wrote. And here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
And then you deal with it. And then, you know, in a roundabout way, you're kind of building the relationship as well with that individual. Because mm-hmm. now you've
and
got
you
that.
Diffuse it in a way, right?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, I think you gain respect that way as well. Face to face, eye to eye. I was going to say man to man, that's sexist. Person to person. But that's how you deal with conflict, isn't it? You don't just ignore and say, no, you're not welcome. Unless it's personal. If some reporter's personal, and has no basis for an attack, then yeah, they're not worth your time. I get that. But these guys weren't. These guys are actually legitimate, you know, reporters, Sky Sports, I think the Telegraph.
So, like, yeah. I would love to know the conversation, though, because you ban them. And then when do you bring them back in? Is it a phone call? Do they say, hey, read your article, not bad. You're more than welcome to come back into the stadium.
Think about the makeup sex.
How do they notify them that they're allowed to come back in?
It's the next press conference is amazing. It's the best press conference I've ever. Oh, the anger. It's great. Oh, makeup press conferences are the best press conferences.
Seriously, I wonder what it is. Is it a game? Is it like you've suspended them for one game or three games and they're serving your red card ban and then they can come back?
If you invite them back and they say, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I'm not going to cover you anymore.
I don't want to come back.
I'm not coming back.
Oh, no one covers them. And like in a year from now, you realize, where the hell is Erik ten Hag? Oh, he was fired 6 months ago. No one was covering the team. We banned them all. Yeah, I know. But they won the game, so good for United. Although it was against Chelsea, the most inconsistent team in the Premier League, I think.
The fuck is Forrest? Is he coming back or what?
No, he's not.
He's probably got a Windows update.
I was so looking forward to chatting with him.
I know. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah.
We keep saying it wrong. We've got to get it sorted out because it's all fun and games, but actually it's really frustrating to listen to if you're a listener.
I'll bet you a tenner he's back in his bed. with his toque on. That Ernie. Somebody's going to get for Christmas.
With Ernie. That's right. Yeah. And a rubber ducky.
With his feet hanging off the bed.
Obviously. Playing with his rubber ducky.
Oh, now you've been too far now. You're the one. Something about... I won't go there again. All right. Liverpool beat the Blades 2-0. Chris Wilder in charge. They finally fired Paul Heckenbottom this week. First manager fired of the season. Quite late in the season. Liverpool did it without Jean Matip, who did his ACL last weekend. He's done for the season. Probably done at Liverpool as well. He's a free agent end of this campaign. 32 years of age. They were probably going to move on from him, which is a real shame, Dubs, because this guy was... I've been a huge fan of his since he arrived in, I think, 2016, wasn't it? 2015, around there. Mm-hmm. From Germany, just a no nonsense. But he's actually quite graceful, but doesn't no flash for a centre back, but just gets the job done, doesn't he? Wonderful footballer.
Yeah, gutted for him, and it's not good for Liverpool because at this point you're calling on Konate, right, to shore up that back line, and I'm not sure that you're getting the same type of profile. Even though Matip, like you said, is no nonsense, just does everything well, simply. I worry sometimes about Konate and his ability to cover and his pace. Even though I think it was a video early on in the season when the ratings came out for EA Sports, and apparently he is quite quick once he gets going, but it's maybe just the long loping strides where he gives the appearance that he's not very fast, and the guys are just taking locomotive. The piss out of him. But he's really well liked, right?
Yeah,
at the club. So yeah, hopefully that's good. Yeah, well, yeah. So he must be good.
He must be good. Yeah, yeah. No, but
Matip was great.
Sorry, I was just going to say that analysis was brought to you and endorsed by Joey Barton.
Nothing is brought to you by Joey Burton.
Just a world of hurt. Any other results? Your boys, Forest, Jimmy.
They're
5-0 losers to who was it? Totally forget. Someone. It was yesterday. Fulham. Thank you. Fulham, yeah. Fulham.
And on the weekend, our Tony Bet parlay, they crushed us on that too, although Pittsburgh Steelers losing to Tampa Bay and are losing to St. Louis. Arizona. Sorry.
Although I believe the supporters club won there. Didn't they?
They did. They did.
So they won us some money.
Is that back to back? They won.
No. They let us down a lot recently.
When was the last one they won? Wasn't it?
No, we won like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and then they won last weekend.
Yeah, last weekend they won.
Yeah.
And most recently, Jimmy, you've been letting us down. Your betting's been shocking.
Yes, it has been.
You're being stop going with teams that you played for. Just keep them out because you're.
Who did I go for last time?
You went for.
You
Forest.
Went with the Leafs.
No.
Leafs and Forest.
Yeah, you have. And I think you went Forest the week before as well.
He did. He went with Forest twice in a row.
That's
right.
I told you I'm not betting on Forest again, so I didn't.
Well, you did.
I didn't bet the Forest Fulham game.
No, but last weekend.
You beat last Forest, weekend though. Was our last footy picks,
and you picked Forest,
and I picked Forest. Fuck, you're right.
So when you said that you wouldn't pick them again, you did last time.
Yeah,
I'm no longer going to invest in Moonstone and Moon Real Estate. He's going to buy
the Forest lost 2-1, Jimmy. You had bet on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Dubs got Dubs won this week. She got France beating Austria.
Oh, look at
that. And JC got Ipswich, right? And we lost Forest. We lost Villa. I had Villa beating Bournemouth, which they should have done. All this love for fair for freaking Villa. They drew Bournemouth and Pittsburgh, of course. But the supporters club bailed us out with three wins. So we're up to $535.
Nice.
Right now.
Well, you know what? We were just talking about international there. The Olympic qualifying, England getting not making the Olympics. That's quite the shock, right, Amy?
Yes, and sort of the scenarios going into that. So in order for Scotland to increase their chances of making it, or like for Team GB to make it, they had to sort of roll over to England, because England had to. So it was at the same time the Netherlands were playing Belgium, and England had to have at least a better than a 3-goal differential than the Netherlands won by.
Okay.
And then there were two goals that came in injury time. So despite England winning 6-0, and Lucy Bronze gets the intel really late in the game because she's playing on that flank from Wiegmann, that they need a goal. And she like storms up the pitch and she gets a goal. So they think they've done enough. And then they're in a huddle and they're watching it and unfold. And she drops to her knees and that's it. But I mean, really, they were poor in qualification. So like they did what they had to do in that game. But the Netherlands come through. So France, out of those three teams now, so it's France, the Netherlands, Spain, and Germany. France gets the bye because they're hosting. And then only two of those remaining three teams will make the Olympics, because it's still just 12 teams that qualify. But it's a really still meaningful tournament for the women's game. I know Forrest here would, if he was here, he would say, you know, the Olympics, they're going to shift it probably to U23 or like U20 for women. But it's not that yet. It's not what it is for the men. It's still a really important international tournament. And for Team GB to not be there, they will get rest. That's the argument, like with the women's game, all of these fixtures. But you want to be competing at these tournaments, and they won't get to do that.
I'm confused, though, and I know I'm always confused. Mm-hmm. So Team GB I don't understand, like, how were they qualifying Scotland and England? Was one of those teams going to be Team GB? Is that what it was?
Be a combined team.
Yeah, it's combined.
Oh, okay.
But mainly England.
Yeah, and Wiegmann was named as the coach.
Mm.
But now no Team GB.
It is.
And really, realistically, the only player from Scotland, with Caroline Weir being out, she did her ACL in this year. It was just Cuthbert from Scotland who realistically had a shot of making that team.
And Andy Robertson.
Right. Yes, of course.
Maybe Scott McTominay has some depth in the middle of the park.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Some goal scoring depth.
Right.
Midfield. Yeah, it is weird, though. It is. Listen, almost out of time. Frank Lampard might be on his way to Charlotte.
Oh,
too bad Craig's not here to talk about that.
I know.
Jimmy can get angry, though. Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, get angry, can you?
Grr.
Ooh, he's a big name. Let's hire him. Maybe Dean's going to get the job as well. That's the rumor right now. But anyway, have you seen? I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But Deitch had his meet and greet press conference at Detroit this past week.
He must be so sick of all the media. Speaking of someone who gets to, like, you could tell he was on a morning show, and they were, I think it was a morning show. It seemed quite morningish, and the anchors, the hosts were grilling him. Just regular chat, and he can come off so charming, and he was incredible. He's amazing with the media, but at the same time, you're sitting there going, when is the real Deitch coming out?
Because I know Morning Deitch. I've done many an early show with Morning Deitch, and Morning Deitch isn't usually that jovial.
Wonger, that made me laugh. It looked like a morning show. What was it? Good Morning Detroit.
Exactly.
What gave it away?
Bob,
two white people talking about weather.
No, there was a black woman and a white guy, and it's like they were just talking about Detroit FC's amazing fans and how the culture there and enthusiasm is
everyone's excited about Deitch being there. So yeah. Seems like it was a good move for him, and he's only 4 hours down the road, so it'll be interesting for us.
Well, we'll see how preseason Deitch is compared to regular season Deitch.
We should go to the home opener.
Level goes up.
Mm-hmm.
We should.
It'd be fun.
We should actually drive there. It's not that far.
No,
it's far enough. But yeah, there's no. They really got a great fan base.
Their fans are awesome. Really, really good.
All right. Well, let's make a plan. Let's do some live content from Deitch's first game for Detroit FC, Detroit City FC. Hey, Wonga, before we leave, do you have the email?
Oh, Pugs Wizard.
No. Pugs Wizard. Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, the Finland one.
Oh, yes.
It's really good, actually.
I got that one. Let me just see.
Yeah.
Give me 2 seconds.
We learned stuff from a listener. First time ever that one of our listeners has educated us on anything.
You're not making friends.
They know I love them. You found it yet?
I did. Finland.
Okay. Well, while Wonger's looking, I forgot to say that I got to meet Forrest's sister, Lori, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and Carrie Ryan's Bill. I got to meet Bill, and so I said Chris Corgan was there, Rob and Jamie from the Voyagers.
Who was the biggest arsehole out of all those people you mentioned?
Nobody. They're all lovely. And well done again, the Voyagers, for those TIFOs. They were incredible.
Oh, that's cool.
Bravo. Well done. And they also gifted Sink and Aaron and Soph with they had paddles made for them. Blank stares.
Paddles? Paddling your bottom?
Like a wooden paddle. No, like you would paddle a canoe with.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I thought the same thing. I thought sadomasochism as well.
Yeah.
First thing came to my mind there.
I think that's on you guys.
I was thinking Animal House. I thought Animal House. Please, sir, may I have another? Please, sir, may I have another?
Not those.
All right.
I was singing ping pong.
Oh.
Or padel, which is much like pickleball, but it's the European version.
Padel?
Yeah.
That's where the emphasis is on the wrong syllable.
So Alan Laycock. Alan Laycock emailed us.
I didn't know that.
What, you are ridiculous. You know that?
Oh, just me?
You are ridiculous.
She is.
Like, grow up, for fuck's sakes.
Come on. His name's Laycock?
It's a pretty common name.
Is it?
Yes.
It's a good name.
It's a popular
name. We're well at Mars.
As opposed to myself, Laycock. It's my nickname. It's what the wife calls me. Yeah. Anyway,
Laycock.
Go ahead.
A few weeks ago now, the topic of Finland being a part of Scandinavia popped up in a few episodes. It was determined that Finland is a part of Scandinavia, but you may be surprised to learn that it is actually not. This is a common mistake made, though, so don't feel bad. People often think that Finland is a part of Scandinavia because of its proximity to other Scandinavian countries and due to the fact that its flag looks similar to other Scandinavian flags. Nevertheless, the truth is that Finland is not a part of Scandinavia. So there you go.
Really? See, I didn't know that. And that's actually quite interesting to me.
I didn't know that either.
And then we have to mention our friend Pugs Wizard has come back into the fold. He is now on double secret probation, but he said, gave us 5 stars.
Hey! Said,
okay, I'll stop. I'm emphasizing some words here. Thanks for the shout out. It was heartwarming. I really do love you guys. I just hope you work on putting the footy back in footy prime. And I have to say, this show was very footy heavy. Surprisingly.
It was actually, yeah.
Was it?
Despite Dubs' best efforts.
Oh, yeah.
No, Puggers, you're welcome back into the fold, pal. Whether you had a bad couple of days or there were a bad couple of pods, probably the latter. We do appreciate the 5-star reviews. And everyone, please give us reviews. And like I said before, and I'm going to keep saying it, apparently it makes a big difference to a bunch of things in this modern world of ours. Like us, subscribe to us, give us nice reviews. Say what you want about us in the reviews, but give us 5 stars.
Yes, give us the 5 stars, exactly, because it does. The algorithms do help us continue to grow and continue to bring you our form of content.
Which means more sponsorship, which means one day we can afford a good internet connection for Craig.
And maybe a new computer.
Yeah, maybe the money from his casket fund should be Craig's computer fund.
Yes, it really
that makes
should.
More sense, right?
That's forward thinking. Mm-hmm.
So we're up to $35.
What computer. Kind of computer can we get a Commodore 64?
Not a very good one, apparently.
Can't even get a cord for that plug.
There are some Premier League games today. You can catch those on Fubo TV. You can still subscribe, FuboTV.com/footyprime, and sprinkle some of your hard-earned money through TonyBets.ca on today's matches. And we're back tomorrow. Now, we have kind of blown our pod load today, so I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow.
No, we're going to do tomorrow. We'll figure it out.
We'll do it, but I don't know what we're going
to
do.
I think we need to ask the question for our former players, how would they like to go out? Because
like dead?
Yeah, no. Just like they didn't get to... everyone
asphyxiation.
No one had a Sinclair story. Like everyone just, you know, hey, we're done our career. I would have loved to be in that. I would have lived it up at that Sinclair night if it was for Wonger.
Okay.
When I'm, you know, like when I retire from Footy Prime, we'll get all eight of us together.
So, what would you have done though, Wonger, in that situation? There's a guard of honor and you're running out onto the field in front of almost 50,000 people. What's Dan Wong doing?
I'm high-fiving everybody. Then I'm bringing everybody. I'm bringing everybody to the middle and I'm saying, hey, you couldn't have done this without you and you. I'm wearing everyone's jersey. So I have a big fat jersey, 17 jerseys on because all the numbers and every 2 minutes I take another one off.
Oh, I like
that. Yeah. Yeah.
You've given this a lot of thought, haven't you?
Hey?
You've given this a lot of thought, haven't you?
Wow. I got to figure out how I'm exiting Footy Prime from you.
I think we did this before years ago, Wonga. I think we discussed this before, how we would like to go out, I think, but different crew then. So let's regale it tomorrow.
Perhaps.
How was your final match experience? Mm. And how would you have liked it to have gone? Okay.
Usually on the losing effort, eh? Most of those things, I would think.
Probably. Well, in Craig's case, he got fucked over by a club, I think.
Yeah.
So that was a good story. Nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel good story.
How did you get touch? Did you guys see like everybody ran out in Sinclair jerseys for warm up and Sinky was wearing a Sophie Schmidt jersey?
Yeah. I actually wrote about that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
That was class. Pure class.
Did you write about it or did you just
write? Yeah. I've written about it.
Oh, okay.
For this week's.
Because I saw your class comment, which was very good, very timely, but I didn't know you wrote about it for the trial.
I got a lot of reaction there, but I forgot to write at Footy Prime on it as well. So I should have gone class,
selfish.
Then at @footy_prime.
Yeah, fucking selfish. Sure. No,
fucking selfish. I
don't
know. Brutal. All right.
That's
the final of that.
We're back tomorrow, and we'll talk about what we just talked about and stuff. Okay? Just keep buying newspapers. And, yep. Bye.
Cheers for listening.
Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bennett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter @footy_prime and on Instagram @footyprimeIG.
Do you have a cold, Chad?
Yeah, I do.
You have a cold shower?
Yeah, I know. It works.
You have a nice bath.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.